On screen, the weatherman was saying, "It's becoming so bad that the latest news is, get this, glaciers on Greenland are melting away and will soon vanish entirely. Those glaciers are 3 miles thick, folks. That's a lot of ice. A new study estimates sea levels will rise 20 feet or more. So sell that beach property now," Evans said. What about that one? It was on the news in L.A. yesterday.
I wouldn't call it news, Kenner said. Scientists at Reading ran computer simulations that suggested that Greenland might lose its ice pack in the next 1,000 years.
1,000 years, Evans said.
Might.
Evans pointed to the television. He didn't say it could happen in 1,000 years from now.
Imagine that, Kenner said.
He left that out.
But you said it isn't news.
You tell me, Kenner said. Do you spend much time worrying about what might happen 1,000 years from now?
No.
Think anybody should?
No.
There you are. When he had finished his drink, he suddenly felt sleepy. His body ached. However he shifted in his seat, something hurt. His back, his legs, his hips. He was bruised and exhausted, and a little tipsy. He closed his eyes, thinking of news reports of events 1,000 years in the future. All reported, as if it were up to the minute, important life and death news. 1,000 years from now. His eyes were heavy. His head fell to his chest, then jerked up abruptly as the intercom came on.
"Fasten your seat belts," the captain said. "We are landing in Van Nuys."
Van Nuys, Monday, October 11th, 7:30 p.m. All he wanted to do was sleep. But when he landed, he checked his cell phone messages and discovered that he had been missed, to put it mildly.
"Mr. Evans, this is Eleanor in Nicholas Drake's office. You left your cell phone. I have it for you, and Mr. Drake would like to speak to you."
"Peter, it's Jennifer Haynes at John Balder's office. We'd like you to come to the office no later than 10 o'clock tomorrow, please. It's quite important. Call me if for some reason you can't make it. See you then."
"Peter, call me. It's Margot. I'm out of the hospital."
"Mr. Evans, this is Ron Perry at the Beverly Hills Police Department. You've missed your 4 o'clock appointment to dictate a statement. I don't want to issue a warrant for your arrest. Call me. You have the number."
"This is Herb Lowenstein. Where the hell are you? We don't hire junior associates to have them disappear day after day. There is work to be done here. Balder's office has been calling. They want you at the Culver City office tomorrow morning by 10 a.m. sharp. My advice is, be there or start looking for another job."
"Mr. Evans, this is Ron Perry from Beverly Hills Police. Please return my call ASAP.
"Peter, call me. Margot." "Peter, want to get together tonight? It's Janice. Call me."
"Mr. Evans, I have Mr. Drake for you at the NERF office."
"Peter, it's Lisa in Mr. Lowenstein's office. The police have been calling for you. I thought you would want to know."
"Peter, it's Margot. When I call my lawyer, I expect to get a call back. Don't be an asshole. Call me."
"This is Ron Perry from the Beverly Hills Police Department. If I do not hear from you, I will have to ask the judge to issue a warrant for your arrest."
"Evans, it's Herb Lowenstein. You really are a dumb shit. The police are going to issue a warrant for your arrest. Deal with it at once. Members of this firm do not get arrested."
Evans sighed and hung up. Sarah said, "Trouble?"
"No, but it doesn't look like I will be getting any sleep for a while."
He called the detective, Ron Perry, and was told that Perry was gone for the day and would be in court in the morning. His cell phone would be off. Evans left a number for him to call back. He called Drake, but he was gone for the day. He called Lowenstein, but he was not in the office. He called Margot, but she did not answer. He called Jennifer Haynes and said that he would be there tomorrow at 10 o'clock.
"Dress professionally," she said.
"Why?"
"You're going to be on television."
This ends Disc 10.